good is it to have the girls gathering together midweek? When I arrived tonight, Stacey, where are you, Stacey? Stacey said, I needed this tonight. And I know that there's others of you out there tonight and you're like, I needed this tonight. So I just want you to relax. Tonight is, we're going to meet God. God's going to touch our lives. And I've got a word from that I really sense that God's given me to share. But I also just want you to breathe. I want you to relax. I want you to sit back into it and just really enjoy being together tonight. Does that sound good? Fantastic. So good. Well, I'm excited to come around the word tonight. Amen? Amen. Can we pray? I know we prayed before. Can we pray again? Is that all right? Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that we're here together tonight in your presence, God. Oh, Lord, nothing compares to you, God. And we just rest in that tonight, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it is life to our bones. I thank you, God, for your word, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God, I just pray tonight as I open your word, Father, and I take the privilege, God, of sharing your word with our ladies tonight. Father, I pray that it would do something in their hearts tonight, that, Lord, you would move, you would speak. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, team. You guys are brilliant. Thanks to all the boys who are in the house tonight. Woo! You know who you are. Fantastic. So good. Well, ladies, I'm going to get straight into it tonight. Does that sound good? Fantastic. Well, as a church, 2017, we've embarked on a journey like Nehemiah of being marked, inspired. I said to the girls tonight, I've actually been sick all week. I've been in bed and I said, my words are not working. I called something an Aziza before. I said, oh, the Aziza. And I'm like, oh, what did I say? I live in Aziza. So, you know, if the words don't come out right tonight, it's coming from the heart. So anyway, we're called to live marked, inspired and bold. And Nehemiah was called to a bold action. Is that right? Help me with my words tonight here, ladies. Okay. So the definition of the word bold is to be brave, it's to be daring, and it's to be courageous. I nearly said creative. No, courageous and creative. But that's the people and the women that God has called us to be. He's called us to be bold. He's called us to be courageous. He's called us to live daring, amazing lives. Amen? So tonight we're going to read from Nehemiah chapter 2, starting at verse 1. So if you've got your Bibles, it will be on the screens as well. Who loves their Bible? Fantastic. Have you guys got it? Awesome. So it says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. Hey, pretty good that I did that on a night like tonight. When wine was before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you were not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? And the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king, if it pleases your king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. So the story that we've just read here, and I think as a church, if you're from Shire Live, you're probably pretty familiar with the story of Nehemiah this year. But it takes us back to the beginning of Nehemiah's journey in restoring the walls of Jerusalem. And in a chapter earlier, in chapter 1, we read that Nehemiah discovers that the walls of Jerusalem are still broken down more than half a century after the temple was rebuilt. And the Bible tells us that upon this discovery, he sat down, he wept and he mourned for many days, and then he fasted and prayed before God. Now, Nehemiah, in his role as a cupbearer to the king, He had immediate access to the king. He was in a privileged position. He was a trusted advisor and a high-ranking official. You see, the king's cupbearer was one of the king's most trusted servants. And because of his role and his proximity to the king, he was expected to always be in good spirits. Commentaries say that a gloomy face could be interpreted as plotting against the king. So Nehemiah could have been executed if he'd been found to disappoint the king. And because of this, Nehemiah says he was dreadfully afraid. The word afraid that is used here is a verb that literally means to fear, to frighten, or to dread. Nehemiah felt compelled by God to rebuild the wall, but it made him dreadfully afraid. It frightened him and it caused him fear. You know, sometimes God calls us to do hard things. Sometimes in life, God calls us to do hard things. And Nehemiah was in this situation. And I know that there's women here tonight, and God might be challenging you. He might be calling you. He may be expanding and stretching you. And just like Nehemiah, you may be dreadfully afraid here tonight. Perhaps you're facing a challenge right now, and it has you afraid. Maybe the God whisper in your heart has you a little bit fearful, scared of what people might think, scared of how it's all going to work out, and you're afraid to take the plunge. The Bible refers in Proverbs to fear as being a snare. You've all heard the scripture. What is a snare? A snare is a trap. It's designed to immobilize you. Fear paralyzes. Fear stops you from progressing, and it stops you from moving forward. A trap. You're stuck. You're not moving anywhere. Billy Graham said, fear can paralyze us and keep us from believing God and stepping out in faith. The devil loves a fearful Christian. The devil loves a fearful Christian. Because if we're afraid, we're not going anywhere. We're not making any moves. We're not moving forward. We're stuck in the fear that we're in. So here we have Nehemiah. He's got this sorrow in his heart. He's got this vision and this dream from God to do something, and he's before the king and he's dreadfully afraid. He's about to ask the king for a leave of absence to go and to rebuild the wall. What would the king's reaction be like? Got to think about this. You know, Jackson was here a minute ago. He spoke on Sunday morning about the power of hindsight, and we read these stories in hindsight, but literally he was in a life or death situation here with the king. How would the king react? Would he be favourable? Would he even be put to death by his request? You see, it's a natural emotion to feel fear. Nehemiah felt fear. You know, we go through our word and we read story after story of human being in the Bible who felt fear, who felt afraid. It's not anything unusual. It's not anything that God's not expecting. It's actually a natural human emotion. But what we need to be careful of is how we deal with that emotion. Yeah. Nehemiah, he was dreadfully afraid, but he wasn't dominated by his fear. He proceeds to tell the king what is on his heart. And in fulfilling our bold, courageous, brave, and daring who felt fear, who felt afraid, it's not anything unusual. It's not anything that God's not expecting. It's actually a natural human emotion. But what we need to be careful of is how we deal with that emotion. Yeah. Nehemiah, he was dreadfully afraid, but he wasn't dominated by his fear. He proceeds to tell the king what is on his heart. And in fulfilling our bold, courageous, brave, and daring lives that we're called to live, there will without doubt come times who felt fear, who felt afraid. It's not anything unusual. It's not anything that God's not expecting. It's actually a natural human emotion. But what we need to be careful of is how we deal with that emotion. Yeah. Nehemiah, he was dreadfully afraid, but he wasn't dominated by his fear. He proceeds to tell the king what is on his heart. and in fulfilling our bold, courageous, brave, and daring lives that we're called to live, there will without doubt come times of fear. I feel fear. You feel fear. The person next to you feels fear. Turn to them and say, are you feeling any fear? Hopefully not tonight. Hopefully tonight you're feeling pretty good. You've got some dessert happening outside. You've got a nice girlfriend sitting next to you. Give the person next to you a cuddle and a hug. Let them know there's nothing here to fear. Some people fear the future. Some people fear being alone. Some people fear rejection. Other people, they fear failure. Maybe you're someone tonight who actually has specific phobias or fears that hold you back in your life. But like Nehemiah, we are not to allow fear to dictate or determine our actions in life. Why is fear so bad? Why? Why is it so bad? It limits you. Fear stops you from doing what you should be doing. There are things we should be doing in life that we are not doing because of fear. And we allow the fear to take those things over. If we allow fear to take over, we stop doing what we're called to do. Fear has the power to pull us back instead of allowing us to move forward. We start second-guessing ourselves and we become so afraid of now my kids to do this and it totally freaks me out, or, you know, play that sport even. Some people won't allow their kids to play, you know, specific sports because they're so fearful of what might happen. Whatever it is, it's actually stopping us. And we go to this place of security and we stop and we stay there. And you know what it is in your own life. And you might be thinking, oh, mine's so silly and... And the person next to you, they're thinking the exact same thing. Everybody's got these thoughts and these fears that are going on in their mind. But the snare my kids to do this and it totally freaks me out, or, you know, play that sport even. Some people won't allow their kids to play, you know, specific sports because they're so fearful of what might happen. Whatever it is, it's actually stopping us. And we go to this place of security and we stop and we stay there. And you know what it is in your own life. And you might be thinking, oh, mine's so silly and and the person next to you, they're thinking the exact same thing. Everybody's got these thoughts and these fears that are going on in their mind. But the snare has you right where it wants you. It's got you immobilized and it's got you stuck. And we're stopped from doing what God has called us to do. We're stopped from living the life that God designed us to live. We stop trusting Him and we become so entangled in the fear that we lose sight of Him in the picture. The word snare that's telling my kids to do this and it totally freaks me out, or, you know, play that sport even. Some people won't allow their kids to play, you know, specific sports because they're so fearful of what might happen. Whatever it is, it's actually stopping us. And we go to this place of security and we stop and we stay there. And you know what it is in your own life. And you might be thinking, oh, mine's so silly and and the person next to you, they're thinking the exact same thing. Everybody's got these thoughts and these fears that are going on in their mind. But the snare has you right where it wants you. It's got you immobilized and it's got you stuck. And we're stopped from doing what God has called us to do. We're stopped from living the life that God designed us to live. We stop trusting Him and we become so entangled in the fear that we lose sight of Him in the picture. The word snare that's used in Proverbs, some people, when you've got a band, okay, some people can preach and teach but won't out of fear. Some people can share their testimony with others about the goodness of God and what He's done in their lives and how they need Him and how they need His salvation, but they won't because they're full of fear. Some can pray for the sick, but they won't because they're full of fear. Some can dominate the business world for God's glory, but they won't because they're full of fear. Some, and I really felt this one was from God, some can lead in politics, but won't because they're full of fear. If we're swayed by fear, We turn from our task and the enemy has won. If you continue reading in Nehemiah, you'll see that fear actually raises its ugly head a few times. But Nehemiah is steadfast in facing that fear head on and overcoming it in order that he may fulfill the call of God upon his life. Who wants to fulfill the call of God upon their lives? You know, the Bible talks a lot about fear. There's actually 365 scriptures about fear, or so they say. And, you know, that's kind of one for every day, apparently. Maybe we all need a daily reminder. I'm going to share some with you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The word fear here means cowardice, which manifests itself in timidity and shrinking back. I want to tell you tonight, God does not give us this. That's what it says. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God does not give this to us. This is not of God. Fear, timidity, shrinking back, not speaking out, not standing up, not moving forward is not God's will for your life. That is not God's will for your life. It does not come from Him. Therefore, it's not what He wants for us. And I know that, you know, we've got the scripture up here and you think, well, it's easy to recite scripture when, you know, when you're not feeling afraid or when you're not in a situation facing your fears head on. But come on, Pastor Ali, come on. When fear hits you, it's hard to live it out, like to quote a scripture and to, you know, God has not given me a spirit of fear, therefore I can go and do whatever and it's awesome and there's no fear and it's, you know, let's go live that life. It's not that easy in real life, and I get that. I get that. It's actually easier. Faith comes easier to us. Sorry, fear comes easier to us than fear. No, fear. Fear comes easier. Faith takes work. It's actually true. Think about it. You guys, you thought I was confused again. It actually does. It comes easier than faith. But this is where we have to understand the context of this scripture. This scripture, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it's actually Paul in prison telling a man who is free that God has not given him a spirit of fear. Now, who do you think should actually have the spirit of fear? The man in the prison or the man who's outside the prison? But the man inside the prison, Paul, says, God has not given me a spirit of fear. We can allow our circumstances to dictate the level of fear in our lives. Fear should have nothing to do with our circumstances. Fear is a choice, but so is trust. Trust is a choice. For us as Christians, we combat fear with trust in God and trust in His unchanging love. Once we realize that God is in control, that He holds us in His hands, that He loves us, we can meet life's dangers and uncertainties with confidence. When I understand and when I know that He is with me, it makes it easier to stand up against fear. Amen? Jesus makes fearless women. He's not given us a spirit of fear, therefore He makes fearless women. Shy Alive women, we are fearless women. Our circumstances, like Paul, we might feel like we're trapped in that jail cell, but you know what? Jesus does not make fearful women. He makes fearless women, and that's who we are. We're not fearful. We're not timid. We're not cowardice. We're not shrinking back. So how can we deal with this fear? How can we, like Nehemiah, how can we be like Paul? How can we be bold in the face of hard times? How can we be uncompromising and strong and live those fearless lives that God has called us to? The first thing is, we actually need to hand it over to God. Hand it over to Him. Don't try and ignore fear. Don't try and pretend that it doesn't exist. It exists. It's there. But we don't have to carry the burden of it. We need to say, God, I'm afraid of da-da-da. I'm fearful of da-da-da. I'm concerned about whatever. God's put something in your heart and it's hard to work out. God, I'm fearful of that. I give it to you. Give the fear to him. It's in his strength. Ask him to lift it and to lift the worry from you. We're not designed to carry fear around. Psalm 55:22 teaches us to cast our cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Peter echoes this truth in 1 Peter 5:7, where he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. These are not cute quotes that we put on Instagram or Facebook when, you know, life's a little bit tough. These are actually real words that carry power for our lives. We're not designed to carry this fear around. We are designed in a manner in which we are meant to actually give it to him, hand it off to him. So what do we do with fear? First thing is we actually give it to him and just be vulnerable. God, this is how I feel. Can you please take this stress off of me? Take the load. I can't carry it anymore. Secondly, we need to stand firm on his promises. We can trust God's promises. The Bible says that God is not a man that he would lie. God doesn't lie. His word is true. Every promise in here is genuine. Every promise in here is true and real and powerful. So we need to stand upon his truth. We need to stand upon his promises. Amen? There's literally hundreds. Like I said, there's 365 promises on fear alone. Amen? Hebrews 13:5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. If you're going in for surgery, never will he leave you, never will he forsake you. If you're going into a court situation, never will he leave you, never will he forsake you. If you're going into a business deal and you're feeling intimidated, never will he leave you, never will he forsake you. Matthew 28:20 says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. If you know Jesus, you're never alone. John 16:33, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Psalm 118 verse 6, and this is one of my favorite scriptures. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. Do you know how many times I quote that? I actually quote that one quite a lot. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. If I'm going into a situation, look, sometimes you guys are scary on a Sunday. That's true. And I'll get up on stage and before I go off, I go, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What is it that you need his strength in terms of fear, worry? The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. Psalm 118 verse 6. And finally, ladies, I want to encourage us to pray. I'm always amazed how easy it is for us to become consumed with anxiety and worry and things, but then like forget to take it to God. That should be our first thing that we do. We take it to God. We pray. You've seen the signs, right? You've probably seen these signs. I think I've got it up on the screen. Can we throw the sign to the screen? Oh, please do not feed the fears. Who's seen that sign before? Please do not feed the fears. Have you seen it before, Larissa? You've never seen it. Yeah, similar sort of thing. It's actually, I actually had a sign, but obviously it couldn't go up on the screen tonight. It's actually like a proper little sign and people pop them around and whatever else. Do not feed the fears. They say that fear is like a baby tiger. The more you feed it, the stronger they grow. Do not feed the fears. And God's way of dealing with fear is super clear. Do not, oh, there it is. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, who needs some peace tonight? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If we look back on the story of Nehemiah, we read in chapter 2 that this is what he did. Before responding to the king, it says, He prayed to God in heaven. So when we're afraid, what do we pray? How do we pray? We pray for strength. We pray for strength in the face of whatever it is that we fear. We pray for wisdom to deal with whatever is worrying you, because sometimes God can drop that little bit of wisdom in and it can totally like just, oh, that's exactly what I need to do. Sometimes you've got, you know, relationship issues going on at work and you're worried about it. You're fearful about talking about it. You're fearful about creating a fuss. Pray for God's wisdom. God, give me wisdom in this situation. Help me in dealing with these people. Bang, He gives you a little word. And you're like, that's exactly what I need. I need that wisdom. Present your requests and needs to God. Pray for breakthrough in your circumstances. And pray for His strength. Pray for His strength. I think as women, there's so many times we try to do everything in our own strength. We try to do it all. We think we can do everything. We carry the weight of family. We carry the weight of study. We carry the weight of who cooked dinner tonight before they came. I have cooked nothing. I'm starving. I'm like literally up here like, oh, I need food. You know, we carry all these things and cares and worries. Does anyone, actually, while we're talking about this, does anybody else get like 4 o'clock? Oh my goodness, what am I going to cook for dinner tonight? Oh, I need to give that fear to God. But we need to let it go, exactly. We need to go to God for our strength. Stop trying to like do all of these things on our own. And fear is like that. Being afraid of things, it can change people's lives. It can change the direction of your life if you let it take hold of you. It can stop you from moving forward. It can stop you from fulfilling and outworking the purposes of God in your life. We don't want to be women like that. We're women who are marked. We're women who are inspired. We are women who are bold. And we will outwork the call of God upon our lives by being fearless. Amen? Amen. And tonight, we're actually going to pray. Does that sound good? We're going to pray. You know, none of us are immune from fear. And no doubt tonight there's people who are on different ends of the spectrum of fear. You know, you might just be a little bit nervous about. Do you know, I lived with someone once who was really, she wouldn't go in lifts, had a fear of lifts. Oh, no, it was so frustrating. Every time we'd go somewhere, we had to take the stairs. It could be something little. It could be something little. But you know what? I know that for others, the spectrum, you know, you've got worry about your kids, worry about the future, worry about finances. And then we've got the other end of the spectrum where you're actually feeling like totally overwhelmed by fear right now. And tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to bring it to God. We're going to pray. We're going to give it to Him. We're going to ask Him to give us strength in this situation. We're going to ask Him to give us the power and the ability to face that fear and to overcome it in Jesus' name, because we are bold, fearless, shy alive women. Amen? Amen. Faith isn't pretending that our problems or our fears don't exist. It's not summoning up all of our willpower to overcome, and it's not optimism. But faith points us beyond our fears to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Why don't you stand tonight? Jesus, you're the one. You're the one who can make a difference, Lord. And Father, I just pray tonight for each and every woman here that, God, we would be released right now from the snare of fear. That, God, our lives would, Lord, not be taken from us because of fear, but that, Lord, we would be bold, fearless, strong women who outwork the call of God upon our lives. I thank you, God, that there is a group of women here that you have called, you have purposed, you have marked. And Lord, tonight we just declare that as a group of women, that we will not be dictated to by fear, that we will not allow our lives to be controlled by fear. And Lord, I just pray right now over every single person that God, if there's anyone here tonight who has challenges and facing fear issues tonight, God, that Lord, you would come and meet them where they are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You know, but the snare has you right where it wants you. It's got you immobilized and it's got you stuck. And we're stopped from doing what God has called us to do. We're stopped from living the life that God designed us to live. We stop trusting Him and we become so entangled in the fear that we lose sight of Him in the picture. The word snare that's used in Proverbs, I always imagined it to be like a little bunny rabbit caught in the snare. You know, he's running through the forest and he gets caught and he's stuck and he can't get out. But, you know, this week I actually started reading more into the scripture, and the word snare that's used there is actually the word noose. It's actually a noose. And what happens is that fear becomes like this noose, and it basically, it captures and slowly kills its prey by depriving it of life. Fear